Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. Monica Sharma embodies the mindful and compassionate change agent the world needs now. In Radical Transformational Leadership, she offers us all a map for action and a clarion call to become the change we want to see. Monica Sharma's voice, based on experience and conviction, strengthens the case that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, and justice, rooted in the transformational power of human compassion. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma. Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVisions7Radio.com. The survival and future of humanity and civilization depends on the framework Monica Sharma outlines in Radical Transformational Leadership. It is my sincere hope that anyone who wants to participate in healing our wounded planet will read this book and follow its principles. Anyone who doubts that the changes needed to lift our world beyond the chaos of today's deep problems and political chest thumping need look no further than this book. The new field she describes as radical systems and cultural transformation constitutes a kind of invisible renaissance emerging around the world of understanding the entwined inner and outer nature of genuine systemic change. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma.
Good day. Thank you so much, Deborah, for creating this opportunity for radical transformational leadership through Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and in the program, Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. I'd like to talk about what we mean by radical transformational leadership. The word radical is not a political word. The word radical comes from a mathematical term, which means the root of. So this work is about the root of who I am. Transformational, we mean something very specific. What we mean by transformational is my ability, your ability, to create enduring and equitable change, new systems and cultural norms that work for everyone universally. And what does leadership mean for us? The ability to create new futures. And we also say a leader is a person around whom other leaders grow. So radical transformational leadership is based on the source of who I am and how I create enduring and equitable change, establishing new systems and cultural norms that work for everyone, and my ability to create new futures. You will hear people who have engaged in this work and have made a huge difference. Their actions have generated results, measurable results. And they use the tools and templates that have been designed for radical transformational leadership and are in the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by me, Monica Sharma. I'd like to share a couple of thoughts with you. What we are sharing with you in the book and in this radio program are tested strategic actions that generated results worldwide. That this methodology works for different cultures, fosters respect and diversity, and that it's multi-sector, multi-level, within organizations and in society. It levels the playing field, breaking pathological hierarchies. It's not about doing different things. It's about doing the same thing differently. It's a time saver, a huge time saver. It builds the ecosystem for change beyond the scatter of good ideas. It's about the next generation activism, where every person unfolds their full potential based on universal values of dignity for everyone, equity as a cornerstone of change, and compassion, which is the strong space of being called to act when we see suffering. These methods transcend polarization. They address the immediate systems and cultural causes, and they are able to deal with the underlying factors, the human beings that have the potential to make change. And when we don't tap into that, we don't create the futures that you and I want to see. We all do things we are capable of doing. Not that that's wrong. We engage in societal change, change in our families, in our workplace. But most of those changes are designed in a way that they address a partial aspect of our work. Today, you will hear conversations on the conscious full spectrum response. The conscious full spectrum response is the fractal for large scale change. It is the space where you and I, all our listeners and our speakers, are tapping into their full potential based on values that are universal: dignity for everyone, equity and compassion. It's about transforming those systems and doing something. So welcome to this program, and I invite you to listen to the wonderful speakers we have today.
Hello, and welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma. My name is Kirsten Gallo, and I'm pleased to be here with my co-host, Sudarshan Rodriguez. Hi, Sudarshan.
Hi, Kirsten. In this program, we talk about fellow RTL practitioners about their use of RTL tools as they work to promote dignity and equity and deliver real results around the world. Today, we are talking about using RTL tools in organizational development and specifically as leaders of projects, programs, or organizations. In her book, Monica describes what it means to be a leader. Great leaders foster growth and leadership of others. They work to solve problems and generate new possibilities, new cultural narratives that uphold dignity and equity for all. They do this by expressing and manifesting their universal values through each conversation, email, meetings, projects that shift systems and cultural norms. A fallacy that we have long held is that being ethical and principled, it is idealistic, that we have to be pragmatic in order to be successful. We should get the job done at any cost. And we are wired to be independent and look out primarily for ourselves, our families, and kinship groups. Not only does practical experience bear testimony to the compassionate action of millions of human beings, but recent neuroscience research shows human beings are wired to connect and can feel into another person. As we have practiced RTL tools and templates, we have discovered that being ethical and principled at home and at work is not just realistic, but normal. Being principled is simply the alignment of who we are, what we wish for ourselves and others, with the words we speak and the actions we take, knowing that we live in a world of abundance.
We also tend to think that leadership is reserved for people with particular titles or positions. But this way of thinking only considers the authority that people have as a result of their title or position. It doesn't account for the influence that we have that with those that we may not directly supervise. And we accomplish some of our most important work through influence because nobody has the authority to do everything that's required for success. We recognize the importance of grassroots efforts, which require people across an organization to be part of the change. Grassroots efforts leverage the influence that everyone has, regardless of their position in an organization. Therefore, everyone can and must develop leadership and stewardship capacities and apply them at home, in communities, and at work in order to generate the systems and cultural shifts for people on our planet to thrive. Making this shift requires managers to let go of some of their control, not their authority, their need to control, to share generation of ideas, accountability, and increase the contribution of others while still holding responsibility for the success of the team.
Stakeholders and participants in RTL workshops and programs often come up with an observation that people in their organization or their partners do not understand nor appreciate the breakthroughs they generate. Firstly, our own field of vision limits us. We only relate to what we can see. We do not have the lens to see and perceive and appreciate the depth to distinguish business as usual from transformative action where we engage in our own unfolding based on our inner capacities. Secondly, people in leadership positions are often afraid that they will lose control. This is also the case in families. Although most people want change, they're often very uncomfortable because they are not sure what will emerge, and they find it difficult to engage in the adventure of uncertainty. Uncertainty usually brings up fears in our minds, and we feel out of control. Many of us have this assumption that we can control what happens, when in reality, we cannot control most of life's events.
Adventure of uncertainty. I love that. We can't underestimate the influence that fear and resistance to change have on our work. I worked on a project that activated shared leadership and grassroots change across a large hierarchical organization. And we had a lot of resistance from middle managers. It turns out they didn't like sharing the stage, if you will, with so many others in the organization. They felt their authority, their voice was diluted. So even though RTL leaders routinely work to activate shared leadership and engage people across their organization, senior leaders do hold unique responsibility for establishing and upholding cultural norms. If a senior leader adopts an authoritarian style of leadership and does not ask for or consider input from their team, co-creation will not be possible and success will be limited. We tend to think that leaders need to focus on increasing performance or efficiency, that leaders need to just tell staff what to do and employees need to be motivated to complete those tasks. There's no need to think about the bigger picture or deeper questions. But RTL leaders, such as Jana Newman, who is joining us today, have demonstrated the opposite. When leadership chooses to establish a work culture that sources people's inner capacities for creativity and connects them to the bigger picture, every organization can have a thriving work culture with systems, norms, and structures based on authentic information and universal values. And this is both profitable for the organization and fulfilling for employees. So today we will explore these ideas in our conversation with Jana Newman, teacher, scientist, and the former director of the Inventory and Monitoring Program in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Jana uses RTL tools and templates in her professional and personal life, and she also loves making artisan sourdough bread. Welcome, Jana.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I stand for equity and balance in myself and others. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. As part of the global community, I bring these values to my work, which over the years have included teaching, research, management, and leadership, which really, if you think about it, are things that everybody does, no matter given their vocation or job. I'm recently retired, and I'm delighted in finding new projects and ways to be of service.
Radical Transformational Leadership courses, RTL courses, are designed based on the Conscious Full Spectrum Response Model. Sourcing our universal values, embodying them, changing systems and cultural narratives and tools. Please share with us how you incorporated and used these tools in ways unique to your own RTL journey.
Embodying my core values is where I started and really changed how I showed up every day and how I interacted with others in my team. I began with sharing my core values instead of my title when introducing myself. This helped me stay in integrity throughout the meeting and often change the tenor of the meeting. Not really anything I can put my finger on, just subtle shifts, perhaps a deepening of involvement and listening. This was especially evident when we went to virtual meetings. I noticed that people perked up and leaned in to what I was saying as if they sensed that somehow this meeting was going to be different. Sometimes people would become curious about why I stated my values, and that opened the door to sharing RTL and pointing folks to Monica's books and training sessions.
How did your approach to leadership change as you embodied your values?
Oh, the change was gradual, I think, and emerging over time, and it evidenced itself in so many ways, some of them quite subtle. For context, prior to RTL and my training, I didn't really realize the extent to which the top-down authoritarian culture, in which I spent most of my working life, hampered co-creation and the proliferation of ideas. Even when we tried to embrace a team approach, looking back, I can see that I would fall into what I now realize was a false leadership, where I sought input about proposed approaches instead of asking questions and seeking options. For example, while working in Florida, I was entrusted to lead a team that was charged to calibrate the inflow structures for 20 test sites, each about a half acre in size, so substantial. And they were placed inside a very large and remotely located constructed wetland system designed to support the restoration of the Florida Everglades. This was my first job out of my, after getting my degree, and I had never worked in a subtropical climate. No worries, I thought. As team lead, I drew up the field schedule for the first week, and then I asked for input from the team. I can now understand that that approach didn't open space for options. So people provided minor adjustments, but no other input was proffered. Although I did notice that I got a few sideward glances and some smirks from the team. Well, first day out, due to alligators, heat, afternoon thunderstorms, and the logistics of working in a very remote location, we accomplished only a fraction of the tasks I had scheduled. It was hot. We were slow. As I quickly realized, the others on the team knew that I had planned way too much. So I was humble enough to now ask for options, and we readjusted, and we were very successful with that task. But so much opportunity was lost as my actions were interpreted that I saw this as my project and not our project. And the opportunity for co-creation and true collaboration was lost. In my most recent position, while I did improve my approach, sadly, I too often leaned into old habits and sought to seek input rather than true collaboration. Through my work with Monica and the RTL tools, embodying my values and employing the learner's mind, so creating space for co-creation was a natural outflow of this process. I also started reaching out and taking more risks in meetings, inviting options before suggesting solutions. I changed how and when I gave feedback. And through all these processes, the team became more cohesive, supportive, and ideas started to flow. There was one team meeting that I recall where I presented an issue that arose between headquarters and regional perspectives and needs. In the past, these conversations would often devolve into tension of us versus them. I would often start with framing the problem and then present potential solutions. But this time, I opened the conversation with the question, what solutions or options do we have that will help us best serve our values and meet our joint goals for supporting conservation on the ground? I think I might have caught them off guard, and there was a few minutes of stunned silence. But then ideas and options flowed. People considered, discussed, and were kind of given the license to build upon the various ideas. In the end, we had a novel suggestion to take back to leadership. It was one that I would not have developed or thought of on my own. And the plan was successfully implemented because the team went back and worked hard to explain its benefits and support the idea, it was a success. And we continued to refine the plan as needed to meet changing needs and budgets. But the main intent and direction remained because they aligned with the ultimate outcomes and with our common values.
You actually created a conversation for action and results by inviting and asking the right question. Not what's wrong, not a conversation of why, but a conversation and an invitation of results, individual purpose, and organizational goals. This is an example, this is an excellent example that illustrates some attributes of RTL leadership. Firstly, the ability to renew. Secondly, the ability to foster leadership in others. And thirdly, the ability to be in action and produce results.
I'm so glad that you spoke about the importance of renewal, which we can do with the beginner's or the learner's mind. It takes time to develop new habits and new ways of being, and it's vitally important that we have compassion for ourselves when we fall back into old patterns. It's not a sign of failure. It's something to be expected. We've been in these systems for decades. It's also worth celebrating when we notice that we're in an old pattern and we choose to move back into the new one. You gave us, Jana, a beautiful example of co-creation. What else did you do differently?
I framed presentations and workshops differently. I began with the importance of connecting our work to our personal values. I shared how the service's mission and values resonated and connected strongly to my personal values and invited the participants to explore their own connections. I asked them to consider how seemingly mundane tools and products and processes that we developed for conducting and documenting the results of natural resource monitoring activities aligned with and resonated with their very reasons for becoming scientists and researchers. This reason was often to make a positive change and to add to the body of knowledge of how the world operates. So this shift of seeing how these processes supported their personal values and goals was critically important to documenting and archiving. And they adopted these. They adopted these for their personal reasons.
We need to take a quick break. We'll be back with Jana to talk more about the importance of embodying values as a leader.
We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity's sourcing our love. Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for programs to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransform.org.
We are back with Jana Newman, former director of the Inventory and Monitoring Program in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Jana, before the break, we were talking about connecting the universal values we hold to the Fish and Wildlife Service mission. It's so great that you could enroll people in a shift from a job to a purpose. What challenges did you face in applying RTL at work?
Yeah, so the first challenge was really just to start, to take that first step. Starting meetings by stating values and holding space for others to share theirs isn't generally part of many corporate cultures, and it does take a bit of courage. I remember how nervous I felt the first time I led my introduction with my values instead of my position. I really wasn't sure how it would be received and if I would face resistance. So there were some people that just blinked a couple of times. Some people rolled their eyes and looked at their shoes. Other pushback was a bit more direct, and they would call me to express concern that I was really wasting meeting time and talking about values and feelings, and that our role in management was to set direction and ensure that we stayed the course and that we got stuff done. I worked to attribute this to a fear of loss of control, and I understood that they experienced the same top-down management paradigm throughout their careers as I had. So I looked for the commitment behind the complaint from those people. I reminded myself that they were dedicated professionals and that they shared my conservation goals and that they wanted to move the needle. Over time, I noticed that several people were adopting some of the RTL methods I was using. They might share their values when introducing themselves to new team members. The exciting part was when, without prompting from me, they would start discussing how or if the project could better align with our mission to achieve sustainable conservation.
I've discovered that complaints are actually requests, usually very poorly expressed and often with a lot of charge and drama. One RTL tool that's really helped me as a leader was listening for the commitment behind complaints, as you described. Before using RTL, I'd get impatient or annoyed at all the complaints that crossed my desk. And then I realized that only committed people complain. And when you listen to them deeply, as you said, Jana, you can learn what it is they care about. For example, people who are committed to excellence in their work will complain about others being careless or sloppy. And when you speak to their commitment, people feel heard and you can address the real issue.
Yes, that's so true, Jana and Kirsten. Together to achieve outcomes, goals, outputs related to mission or a purpose of an organization really require us to move beyond individual leadership to shared leadership. When we work together based on universal values, the spaces of competition actually dissolve into spaces of joy, collaboration, acknowledgement, celebration of each other's success. We recognize that when the other succeeds, we are closer to the mission and purpose and goals of the organization. It's really recognizing the reality of interdependence inside an organization, as well as with the world outside. It brings alive working with collaboration and alignment and synergy, as well as still having accountability and responsibility of individuals manifest. Joyfully celebrating another's success requires a healthy sense of self, profound humility, and a selfless generosity. There's a saying, a true leader is among whom other leaders emerge. When all staff in an organization connect to who they are being, what they stand for, their inner capacity, they're able to see the mission and core values of the organization beyond blind compliance or just an intellectual understanding of the organization's mission statement. They become attuned to the universal values and start to act from that space.
Absolutely. Jana, you mentioned the courage that it takes to lead in a manner that's not consistent with the cultural norm. What advice would you have for supporting risk takers in large organizations or bureaucracies?
Such an important question. I think try to remember that in any organization, there will always be those that resist and the early adopters. For some, it might seem scary to take that first step or plunge. And so it takes courage. And so pick a time and space, a meeting, a conversation, a forum, an email, where you feel relatively safe to step out of your comfort zone. And then after you do, seek out the early adopters. You'll recognize them from their body language and their comments. Trust them. Seek their advice and input. I use these conversations as an opportunity to talk about the RTL methods and process and tools and to share my approach and goals. And then just keep practicing, forging the path, show the way, small little steps. And this begins to create change in the culture of how we work. And this is so important. The transformation, when just even some of the team made the shift to understand and embody their values, was really radical. It was seismic. And it's so important to also practice deep listening, especially to listen to those that are resistant. Listen for the commitment behind the complaint, as we've talked about. And Monica teaches the importance of listening from the heart and not the head, so that we can truly connect and understand each other. That's so important if we're going to connect to each and to source our inner capacity. Therefore, don't advise, don't lead. Try to listen to understand and source the universal values for self and for others. I have seen this to really be the most transformative.
I've had that experience too. One of my staff members came to me when I was fairly new in my position at the National Park Service. He was a computer programmer and he'd been in his position for more than a decade. And he said that for the past 10 years, he only ever wanted to sit at his computer and write code. He didn't care what leadership was doing or what was going on in the organization. He didn't attend any of the social events. He just kept his head down and he wrote code. He said that I was the first person who really cared about his thoughts and ideas, and that he genuinely wanted to do his best work for me. And he was a new person after that. He started building bridges within our program to support staff across the country. He joined our diversity and inclusion work group and worked tirelessly on creating an environment that was welcoming and honoring for everyone. And all this emerged simply because I listened to him.
Yes, Kirsten, listening, deep listening, listening with an open heart. In fact, it's mentioned as a new learning in Monica's book, and let me quote from it. Quote, "Listening from our deepest source allows creativity to unfold, informs our thinking, and opens up numerous possibilities for measurable transformation," end quote.
Yeah. One way I think it's important to support risk takers is to second their ideas. I don't know how many times I have been in a meeting and I or someone else introduced an unusual or maybe a bold idea, and the group responded with complete silence. And I felt really stupid when that happened to me, when I was the one who spoke. And it definitely makes it harder to keep speaking up and participating in the meeting. We don't have to immediately say yes to the idea to support someone. We can say something like, "Say more about that idea," or "Let's explore how that might work." Simply opening a conversation can really make a difference.
Kirsten, that is so important. That feeling of when people look at their shoes, right? We need to support this type of courage more often. They are taking a chance and being vulnerable in front of their colleagues by tossing an idea that they feel maybe won't be accepted.
And that's so true, Kirsten and Jana. You know, principal risk takers are present in every establishment. They challenge what's not working because they are firmly grounded in universal values that apply to everyone, everywhere. Unfortunately, others label them as disgruntled, rebellious, or simply dismiss them as emotional. If you're practicing RTL tools, we also take risks by challenging the status quo. And therefore, we develop strategies to support principal risk takers. For example, we identify champions who openly support risk takers. We generate media strategies. We encourage conversations to support new ideas and ways of working in partnership.
And another tip might be to reach out to and establish a small community or network, like the pods that Monica established for the training sessions. I was so grateful for the book group that the National Park Service established to discuss Monica's book. Not only did it help me establish a deeper understanding of the concepts and how to apply them, but now there were people that I could lean on for support.
Yes, Yana. RTL is based on peer learning. We have a community of practice in India with alumni refreshers, weekly triad calls, and book clubs. We also have monthly design support calls for practitioners to bring their projects, to learn and refine their projects as well. In alumni refreshers, we not only refresh the tools, but practitioners share their practice and integration of RTL in their personal and professional spaces, just like you and Kirsten have shared here. As a practitioner coach, this is a learning for me as well. And these communities of practice have a unique feature. These entities or people connect, organize themselves, operate in a particular recognizable way. The RTL tools, that is, based on universal values of dignity, equity, compassion, they also establish equitable and sustainable systems and norms, proactively responding to solve problems, which in turn impacts humanity and the planet.
Monica's examples of how she's used RTL tools is really quite impressive, and she's delivered transformative results on a global scale. And it can seem quite intimidating or daunting to those just starting on their RTL journey. Does this resonate with you, Yana? If so, what advice do you have for those just beginning to wade into RTL practice?
Of course, I felt like that at times. And I often heard this from my team when I introduced RTL to them. The lament that I'm not a top manager, I don't have the power to lead this change, I don't have the reach or the resources, I don't know where to start. But I had to remind myself and I have to remind them that RTL isn't about management or resources. It really is about how you show up each day in your own life, how you approach yourself, your partners, your family, your friends, the community, and even the natural world that sustains us. When you work from your values and align your life to your values, then everything you do is transformative. You begin to change the tenor of the conversation and connect to people differently. Don't underestimate this. This really is a transformative effect that cascades throughout the team and the community.
You just addressed another common error in our thinking, that our education and expertise are all we need to create change in the workplace and the world. But what I just heard you say is that our universal values influence the way we express our professional talents and skill, as well as our ability to manage and create professionally contributes to this success, prosperity, and service in the world. We transcend our social biases and source our inner capacities and wisdom for action.
Yes. And equally, we often forget that it reaches beyond our professional work and boundaries and to our personal sphere. And that's so important.
Yeah, it's what we call being a mindful proactivist, responding to my inner capacity, my deepest purpose, being fully present and aware in every strategic action, navigating and acting like a river that flows, yearning to reach the destination, navigating through obstacles and gradients, gravitating and merging into the sea. As Monica says, it's about flowing intentionally, knowing the destination and the result, not haphazardly, and that the intention comes from our courageous commitment to make a difference mindfully.
I'm going to shift our direction. Yana, you and I are both PhD level scientists, and our paths included fieldwork, research, teaching, the conservation of public lands, and we both landed in the same position, leaders of the Natural Resource Inventory and Monitoring Program, but in different federal land management agencies. Sudarshan has also worked in environmental fields. As scientists, we are trained to stay objective and highly rational. The only value that I experienced in my training or work prior to RTL was related to the accuracy of the data. Values like dignity were considered soft and irrelevant. Excellence was all that we needed, and of course, publications. How have RTL practices influenced you as a scientist?
I agree. My training emphasized the need to be logical and to remain impartial and to always just get the data. For me, and I think many scientists of my generation, this was taught as a need to distance ourselves from the answers or the solutions, to stay, to sort of be able to stay logical. And that ended up distancing ourselves from our own values and our inner purpose and why we were often scientists. So thus, we failed to connect to others, and we tragically lost the opportunity to help others connect to the purpose and value of our work. And perhaps more importantly, we lost the opportunity to invite them to be part of it, to set direction, to have what, to define what the goals and impacts are, to be integral to the process. The RTL training helped me realize that positive change is not sustainable when the application and outputs that are created are without thought or alignment to universal core values.
I think we also limit ourselves as scientists by just looking at outputs, like publications are the measure of success. Most of us want to make a mark in the world in some way, to know we made a difference. And scientists want the results of our work to contribute to something, whether it's the cure to a disease, alleviating hunger, or conservation of a species. Even those of us who just want to know how the world works want society to use that knowledge in a meaningful way. If scientists truly applied the RTL principles and practices, we would hold ourselves accountable for our findings to be applied and to be used. So for environmental scientists, it would mean working with land managers and decision makers to co-produce science that answers pressing conservation issues, and working with others to develop science-based solutions. For example, when I worked at the National Park Service, my staff learned from park managers and firefighters that they needed better tools to predict the risk of wildfire. And so we partnered with them to create models based on existing data, such as temperature, humidity, precipitation, to determine how likely it was for a spark to ignite into a fire. And this became the foundation for determining burn bans, for planning and allocating fire resources, including conducting prescribed burns.
Exactly, Kirsten. I also think that when we truly practice RTL and open to co-creation, we let go of the need to state our CV, our pedigree, and the need to yield to those from elite institutions and that have received many awards. It's important to be proud of our accomplishments, but often it can be daunting to students and the public and new practitioners when at conferences and meetings we lead with our CV or our resume. Folks may not feel invited to participate, and we end up missing out on the contribution of many people with diverse experience and knowledge. It's interesting that we forget that sometimes those not closest to the issue might actually have the most innovative solutions. RTL approach and tools provides the means and the platforms for inviting others to the conversation.
I agree completely. We need to take another break, and we'll be back with Yana to talk more about the importance of embodying values as a leader.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic actions in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the book Radical Transformational Leadership by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality, being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity sourcing our love. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for programs to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransformed.org. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransformed.org. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma. Find out more about programs at www.radicallytransformed.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
We're back with Yana Newman, the former head of the Inventory and Monitoring Program in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But you mentioned, Yana, that you're now retired. Are you continuing to work with and or apply the RTL tools?
Absolutely. I strive to embody and apply RTL every day. We often only see the people we encounter in our daily lives as their role, right? The store clerk, the librarian, even our neighbor. We forget that we are all multifaceted and so much more than our role in the community. And employing the tools of deep listening helps me to connect with them. And I learn that we often have the same concerns and share the same goals and values. I'm enriched from that encounter, as understanding their perspective often helps me to identify and challenge my own biases. And along a more structured path, I look in the community, there are so many organizations, teams, and efforts, and all ongoing in the local community where RTL would be useful and applicable. I've had a hard time narrowing down where I might be of most service, but currently I'm thinking of ways I could support the education system to help equip our future leaders with these valuable tools.
Fantastic. This work about the profound humility of being open, self-aware, in practice, and on a path of lifelong learning for all, be it experts, academicians, or anyone who excels in a subject matter they teach. As Monica puts it, it's about the humility of wisdom and not the arrogance of knowledge. Yana, you have really demonstrated the power and importance of embodying universal values and connecting us all to a larger mission and purpose. In your examples, you have exemplified the qualities and characteristics of a transformational manager, someone who uses every routine activity to generate new conversations and results based on universal values. And it's clear that you practice various ways to source your inner capacities for action. As a result, you and your teams contribute to the big picture of the organization. Staff are inspired to align and encourage equitable and sustainable communities, society, and workplace, and they grow personally and professionally as they see how their contribution helps create this change. Another skill I think is critical for transformational leaders is the ability to align projects for synergy. There are different levels for alignment. Yana, you and I, as a function of our peer positions, had alignment at the embodied values level and at the system shift and outcome level, even if we didn't do any specific projects together. So I'm thinking specifically of citizen science and bat monitoring for white nose syndrome. We each did projects independently with our agencies, but the purposes of those projects were aligned. Because of that, we created a fractal for change. In our case, it was relatively easy to align projects because we were doing the same thing, inventory and monitoring, just in different places. We did an alignment exercise with the National Interagency Fire Center during a learning and action program with Monica. Yana, I don't believe you were there, but your Fish and Wildlife colleagues were, thanks to you. We had staff from four federal bureaus, plus the Department of the Interior in the room, in a variety of disciplines, including fire, natural resources, GIS data management, law enforcement, recreation, human resources, and contracting. And we used the Conscious Full Spectrum Response, the CFSR model, to align projects from each of these disciplines based on universal values and mission-related system shifts. All the agencies have similar conservation missions. The CFSR model is a transdisciplinary model and template for strategic action, and it's robust enough to hold frameworks from different disciplines, different sectors, or even different schools of thought. It's subject agnostic and therefore can be applied within and across organizations. And this alignment exercise was the first time that many staff saw the interdependence between disciplines. For example, fire staff needed data from the natural resource staff to fight fire and minimize impacts to other natural resources. And based on GIS and other data, they can determine where to establish camps and locate fire crews. They also need law enforcement to assist in managing visitors and to assist with incident command. And thanks to human resources and contracting, they're able to pay, hire, train, and pay their staff. And it was very clear how all these disciplines were necessary to achieve our conservation mission. At the beginning of this conversation, I mentioned the importance of embracing everyone's leadership, regardless of their position in an organization. At face value, empowering everyone's leadership seems crazy. If we encourage and establish independent entities and allow people to self-organize, there will be chaos because there's no one in charge and people will not know what to do. There will be no order. Everything will be out of control. And we have to assume that everyone will act out of self-interest. But I deliberately worked to break hierarchy while I was at the National Park Service. And one way I did that was to establish work groups that engaged on national issues. The work groups consisted of staff across disciplines and across grade. In the federal government, the higher the grade, the higher up in the hierarchy. Two things that made these groups different is that membership was self-selected, so people chose to join based on topics that were of interest to them. And second, the groups were led by lower graded employees. So each group made decisions by consensus, and every person had an equal voice, regardless of grade. One group wanted to create a greater sense of community, so they created a variety of coffee house or coffee conversations. And some of the conversations were for generating ideas. Others were for advice or counsel on a particular challenge. Still others were philosophical discussions, and they were all intended to create community, inspire creativity, and promote partnership. One of these discussions led our communications staff to develop new criteria for creating communication products. And these criteria included things like, did we communicate our values through the product and connect clearly to our conservation mission? Have we considered the full range of possible audiences and used language that was inclusive? And they realized that they needed to know more about inclusive language. So they organized a training to receive it. Every product from the work groups was implemented in the program in some way and was of benefit to the program and to our staff. And staff reported that they had discovered a passion for their work that they didn't have before. So although we tend to think that we need to maintain authority and control, we discovered that when people embody and act from universal values and engage in what they deeply care about, they self-organize, self-correct, and operate as independent yet interdependent entities. Diversity thrives for the enhancement and fulfillment of all. And we're like the stars. We each have our own unique light. And when one of us shines, we don't diminish others. And it's lovely to look up at the sky and see a few stars. And it's absolutely awesome to look up and see all the stars in the Milky Way. When we work together, we can create an organization so bright that it lights up the sky.
Kirsten, yeah, that's so inspiring. I mean, organizational shift and cultural shifts within the organization, across organizations, beautiful example. In fact, your example reminds me of an incident that happened. I was leading two different project teams, one working on water conservation with farmers with the Ministry of Water Resources, and another working with civil society groups and communities on coastal management. They were based in different locations. They were working in different locations. Both of them had been through RTL training programs and were using the same design templates and were practicing the RTL tools. And on one occasion, they actually happened to be in the same city for a meeting, and it gave them the opportunity to actually interact, and they decided to have a meeting. Interestingly, they just proactively and organically took the initiative and came up with a request to actually support each other's projects based on individual skills that could lend to each other, but also at the project level for the projects to collaborate with the outputs that they had that in common, that they could see alignment. And the key here was common vocabulary, the language, and most importantly, the design template, the CFSR, the Conscious Full Spectrum Response Model. So both within and between organizations, coalitions, we need internal and external alignment and attunement. In fact, new pathways of transformative results show up when we nuance different expressions of alignment and attunement using RTL.
It's a perfect summary of everything we've been talking about. So in RTL, we often end sessions with acknowledgement of what we learned from each other. In this conversation, I learned about our unique role that senior leaders play in creating a culture of the organization. They determine whether solutions are co-created or directed, and whether staff feel like they're just doing a job or whether they're using their inner capacities to work towards a meaningful purpose. When leaders embody their values, everyone and everything around them grows and thrives. They accomplish more because people are fueled by their passion and their projects are aligned for synergy. I also learned about the importance of embodying our values and using the RTL tools and science. Doing so ensures our information is used to support decision makers, and in my case, support regeneration of the natural world that I so deeply treasure. So thank you again, Jana, for sharing your courage and your insight with us today.
Oh, it was truly my pleasure. I also learned a new way to approach and embrace uncertainty, to engage uncertainty as an adventure. This perspective really brings an element of fun. And I learned that it's important to challenge set organizational hierarchies and to be able to establish and support a truly co-creative atmosphere. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thanks, Kirsten. Thanks, Jana. And here is something I leave our listeners to inquire about. What do you care about? What is your purpose? What do you stand for self and everyone everywhere on the planet? How do you and how will you bring it in your personal and professional spaces to shift norms? Goodbye, stay well, and stay safe.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.